Now, I wanted to kick off on the show here talking about where I was last night. Now, anyone who heard the show yesterday, you would have known that Raheel Raza, the president of the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow, was joining me live in studio, as well as Salim Mansour, the organization's vice president. And the reason I had them on was because they were going to be featured at a screening of a film last night called Honor Diaries. And Honor Diaries is a movie that addresses the human rights issues facing women all around the world, but specifically in the Muslim world. And it's a one-hour documentary. I would strongly encourage anyone look into it. It's an absolutely powerful and moving story. And Raheel Raza, who was in London last night, is actually one of the nine women featured in the movie with a vested interest in human rights and in solving these problems, or at least addressing these problems. And the movie is called Honor Diary, so the key focus of the movie is this concept of honor. And I'm obviously not going to be as eloquent or as well-versed in the subject as Raheel was yesterday, but I will explain just for context purposes what honor does. This sense of honor, which exists in a lot of different cultural groups and a lot of different countries in the world, and Muslim countries specifically, and other South Asian nations, honor puts an emphasis on saving face for the family above rights, above freedoms, above liberties. And it's that same mentality that leads to honor killings. If a girl or a woman dishonors her parents, forced marriages, because after all, it's an honorable thing to marry the man whom is destined for you or predestined for you by someone. Genital mutilation. They actually do some horrid, horrendous things to girls to alter their genitals simply because that preserves their honor in the eyes of many of these cultures. And a lot of women were discussing this in the movie. One of them in the movie, a Muslim, said the problem is Islam. Another said the problem is culture. Another said, well, you know, I was raised in some of the same countries that you were, but I never experienced this. My parents weren't Muslim, so maybe the problem is. But the point is, you had nine women talking about this in this film that I think was so powerful. Controversial, yes, but powerful. And like Raheel said on this show yesterday, it's not a question of whether or not human rights are something to be strived for. Obviously they are. It's about whether or not we are prepared to discuss human rights, even if it offends people. Even if it may make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. And the reason I'm talking about this now, the postgame, I was emceeing this last night, so obviously I saw what was going down. It was very well attended, but there was a peculiar absence of representatives from the media. As a matter of fact, there was only one individual from the media, and that was a small independent publication in London known as The Yodeler. But all of the mainstream publications were vacant. Those seats were empty. They were all notified. London Free Press, London Community News, CTV London, they were all told about this. They were all invited to this. But none of them came. Now, it's a busy week for news in London, admittedly. It's a busy, busy week. We have Joe Fontana. We have lots of other cases going on, but there's no reason that this couldn't have been covered logistically. The only answer is that it is a decision of ignorance, a willful ignorance to an issue that is paramount to the community. Not only do we have a relatively recent framework through which we compare this to, look at Boko Haram, for example, in Nigeria. This is an example of the Islamic world devaluing girls, treating them like chattel. And then we looked just a couple of days ago, a 23-year-old woman in Pakistan was killed, stoned to death because of, you guessed it, honor. So all of these things prove a relevance of this issue, but it doesn't just happen in other countries. No, it happens in Canada. Raheel has done this study, and she was even sharing this yesterday on the show, 22 confirmed honor killings in Canada in the last, I think it was 14 years. 22 is not the number. The number, or 22 is not the reason that I care. The relevance of the number is minuscule. Surely one is enough to make people start paying attention to this. And this is what bothers me so much, is that here we have an issue, here we have a discussion, here we have a perfect reason for people of different communities, ethnic, religious, political, doesn't matter, to come to the table and try to start discussing this, but the media is silent. The media is gone. And interestingly enough, of London's 30-some-odd thousand Muslims, many of them were absent as well. And this is where the story gets a little bit interesting, because as it so happened, the event was at the Wolf Performance Hall at Central Library, and across the hallway from the performing center by about 12 feet or so, there was a table set up with some pamphlets about the Quran, with some pamphlets about Muhammad, about Islam. Now, this was not planned. They're there every Thursday, they told me. I went over and introduced myself. They're both representatives of the London Muslim Mosque on Oxford Street. And I said, I'm actually really glad you're here. We have a movie screening going on across the hall called Honor Diaries. It's about the human rights challenges facing women, and it's about the threat that honor killings pose, and we actually have two very prominent Muslim speakers there. I'd love for you to come. We do. Salim Mansour, a Muslim, Raheel Raza, a Muslim, both very well known, both very well respected. There were two gentlemen that I was inviting. One of them stared me down, would not say a word. He shook my hand haphazardly, withdrew when I said, I'm Andrew Lawton, by the way. Which means, I guess he knows me. The second one was a bit kinder, a bit more pleasant. I said, I'd love for you to come. He's like, I don't know. I said, just pop over. You know, you don't even need to pay the admission. I'd like to have you there. He's like, we'll see. I don't know. They never stepped foot in that room. Now, maybe they were busy. Maybe the traffic was bad getting from one side of the hallway to the other. Or maybe that reinforces what the problem is. That the Muslim community needs to be the first people out there in front of this to respond to this. The feminist movement as well. Notoriously silent on misogyny in Islam, but they find misogyny in every other aspect of the world. Where were they? This is where I believe everyone has not just a right, but a duty to step up to the plate. If you are going to claim that you care about human rights and justice as well, show up to the table. Because your media, who's supposed to speak for you, sure as heck did not. We got to take a break here. Let's talk. 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. This is the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
Let's talk about it. Call Andrew now. 519-643-2222 or toll free 1-866-354-8255. This is the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
I'm talking about the screening of the Honor Diaries, or just Honor Diaries, last night at Wolf Performance Hall. And if you haven't heard anything about it, well, I don't blame you. Because no one from the London media reported it. I was the media presence there. And I was emceeing it. So we're covered, we're talking about it, devoted a whole half hour to it yesterday, talking about it again today. But I want to know why. What is it about this that the media doesn't feel is important to discuss? Was it because there was a provincial party involved in co-sponsoring it? We can't talk about things because the Freedom Party is helping organize it? Maybe. Was it because we don't believe that honor killing is a thing that happens in Canada? Well, if that's the case, you are so sorely mistaken. Is it because it involves the Muslim community? We don't want to risk making them feel like we don't like them. That might be it as well. Or maybe, just maybe, it has everything to do with political correctness and fear. Everything to do with hiding from the truth, hiding from the realities because of this myth of what Raheel Raza said yesterday is a myth of Islamophobia, a word invented to shut down debate and deflect any criticism, potentially valid criticisms. And interestingly enough, I honestly believe people need to get their heads out of the sands on this issue in general. But I want to know why some people are so conspicuously absent. Not just the media, but feminists. Feminists call out misogyny and see it in a lot of different places. Why not in a religion or a sect of a religion that embraces it? Why was the Muslim community not the first one there to say, yeah, you're right, honor killing is terrible, we don't stand for that? Where were they? Give me a call. Let's talk. 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, Andrew, I think probably, in my opinion, the rest of the media stayed away. They're so afraid of being politically incorrect when they report it. And so they try and avoid it.
Yeah, and it's startling, too, and not surprising, but it's startling that this fear is so alive in people who really, I think, should take stirring things up as a badge of honor in many cases.
Isn't honor killing Sharia law?
Yeah, it's all part of the same package in that area.
And Sharia law has been outlawed in Ontario. I recall they wanted to enter it into our federal laws or our provincial laws. And I'll give McKinney credit. He disallowed it. So it's not even, it's against the law here.
Yeah, it is. Well, beyond that, I mean, honor killing is murder, but it's murder that is driven by a specific purpose. And I think if we as society want to handle that, we need to recognize what that purpose is. And that certainly seems to be an area where people do not want to act. Gary, I appreciate the call very much. John, go ahead.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, thank you, sir.
Listen, who was the fellow from the Freedom Party that was on yesterday?
That was Salim Mansour.
Yeah, great guy. I love listening to him. What a breath of fresh air. And pretty much agree with everything he says. Didn't you say, or wasn't he on the show, and I'm getting old, so my memory might not be that good, but wasn't he chastised and afraid to go into some of the places where he knows other Muslims because they didn't like what he was saying and how outspoken he is about the rights for women?
That I don't know the exact words, but you're right. There was something to that effect where he's sort of been made into a pariah in the Islamic community because of speaking out on this issue.
Well, that tells a whole lot there. But I just want to put my pen down that I'm probably going to vote for this guy. I think he's the kind of people we need out there talking, not just for the Muslim community, and they should be falling in line behind him, and not just falling in line agreeing with what he says, but he's speaking for everybody. It's not just Muslim women he's talking about. He's talking about women in general, how they're being treated and how they should not be treated. So kudos to him. I hope you get him on a lot more. I like listening to him. The other thing, this is, I was just made aware of this a couple of months ago. Have Marty look this up, but this was written in the late 1800s by Winston Churchill while he was still, and I just can't remember the name of the book right now, but it's Winston Churchill while he was in the British Army. And he was over in some of these Arab countries back then, because Britain was basically everywhere then. But interesting to see what he has to say about the last bastion of, and this is in the late 1800s, of women abuse and who he says perpetrates that. Have Marty look that up. It's really interesting reading, and it's from one of his Churchill's books, and he wrote many, but this was when he was 18 or 19 years
wow.
old and quite a world traveler.
All right, we'll definitely get on that. Appreciate the call, John. I like that our callers are assigning you tasks, Marty. In a lot of ways, that makes my day.
I know.
You don't listen when I do, then maybe you'll listen when John assigns you tasks. But the whole issue that I have here is not that the media didn't show up. I think that's a big part of it. But it's that there's almost a de facto coordinated effort by the groups who should care the most about this. And remember that much as we may have moved to a society where people can go around the mainstream media to get their information, the media still has a big responsibility on its shoulders to inform people, to report things, and even attending in a critical sense. even if the media had showed up and said, hey, we think these people are a bunch of Islamophobes, we're going to write about how Islamophobic they are, at least they'd still be talking about it. But no, instead they ignore it. Scared of what will happen if they come out and face the public on this issue. Why did the two men from the London Muslim Mosque not want to come? I offered to waive their admission fee. Not sure I had the authority to do that, but I tried anyway. And they weren't interested. So who's going to stand up for it? Who is going to stand up for these women? Thank goodness people like Raheel Raza do. Thank goodness people like them are standing up for this, when the people who need to most are not. Paul, go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, Andrew. I just think there's a lot of duplicity within the community, the Muslim community. What I see is that since it happened, is there anything that concerns them that's something that's controversial? They tend to shy away from that and drift away from that. Anything that has to do with Israel, there'd be just massive media. You know, there'd be this whole sort of conglomerate against it. And the media's there, and they're out there protesting. So what I see happening here is that there are some issues in that community, and they refuse to address it. I know Salim. I've kind of lectured with him, and I understand his position. And there are a lot of things that are going on in that community, and he's speaking out against it, and he has a right to do that. And the Muslim community needs to take responsibility, not come out 2 weeks later when there's these kidnappings, like, for example, of Boko Haram, and say, oh, we speak out against it. They need to come out right away. And what I've been seeing as of late is that it's always after the fact, and yet more and more of this stuff kind of goes on. So, that's my opinion on that. But, no, I support that the showing of the film, and I'd like to see more of them come out and get involved in it. And if they're not, it's just another 6 volumes.
Certainly hope that'll end up being the case, Paul. Appreciate the call very much. Tom, go ahead.
Hi. Angie, was Megan Walker in the audience?
I don't know if she knew about it, but no, she did not attend that I saw.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, I've never seen anything to do with male bashing or any sort of thing that she hasn't been a part of. I mean, she seems to be kind of selective in her outrage, you know, in a lot of cases. Say, take Jack Layton for instance. You know, he gets caught naked in a whorehouse, and she, you know, you didn't hear nothing from her. You know, I mean, it's just the feminist movement. They're selective in their who they want to. You know, they're selective in their outrage.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely the case, Tom. I appreciate the call. We're up against news here. And there was one woman that did come up to me after the fact and said, you know, I'm a feminist and I'm here because I care about this. But she was in the minority. None of the people that were told are the, quote, official feminists of London were there, the ones we hear from on a regular basis. So everyone, the feminist movement, the Islamic community, local media, the general public for not getting more outraged about this issue, we all share some of the blame. But something needs to change. More of The Andrew Lawton Show in just a few moments on AM at 980.